Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Tony Stansfield, Surecore's CTO. Tony has over 35 years of semiconductor experience in a variety of technical roles. He is cited as an inventor on 27 patents covering SRAM, CAM, low power electronics, and programmable logic. Welcome to the podcast, Tony.
Hi, Dan. Thank you. Glad to be here.
First, Tony, can you tell us how you came to the semiconductor industry and what brought you to Surecore?
If I can cast my mind back that far, yes. So basically, I joined a semiconductor company straight from university back in the, that would have been mid-80s. A company called InMOS, which was sort of a UK government-funded startup, basically to kickstart electronics or microelectronics in the UK. So yeah, it was a sort of hot topic in my last few years at university that there was a lot of interest in that sort of activity in the UK. So yeah, that's how I got into semiconductors. I've been doing it ever since for a range of different companies. Yeah, most recently Surecore, where I've been last 10 years. I joined Surecore because, well, actually I'd done memory sort of in almost my first job out of university. The company I was just talking about, I ended up working in their memory group. Then went off, had a long detour in sort of programmable logic kinds of things. And then I was looking for a job and talking to somebody who said, you know, there's this guy in Manchester who's talking about doing a physical IP startup, probably in the memory space, sounds basically right down your street. So yeah, that was Paul Wells, our CEO. Paul and I met, we decided that, yeah, Surecore was an interesting thing to try and do. So yeah, I've been there not quite as long as Paul, but getting on that way.
Yeah, we've worked with Surecore for several years, and you know, I know Surecore as a low power SRAM IP company, but you recently put out a white paper called Improving the Efficiency of AI Applications Using In-Memory Computation, a very good white paper. I enjoyed it. But it sounds like you might be changing direction a bit. You know, is Surecore shifting to the AI market?
Yeah, you mean are we jumping on the AI bandwagon? No, we are a memory company. We're still a memory company, but we pay attention to what people are doing with memory. So, you know, we're a low power memory company, as you say. That's not because we thought low power memory would be a fun thing to do. It's because we saw there's a wide range of applications which really, really care about power. So, you know, smartwatches, earbuds, hearing aids, all that kind of stuff. There's a limit to the size of battery that you're willing to strap to your body or stick in your ear or that kind of thing. So there are those very power constrained applications. And that's why a lot of which use significant amounts of memory. That's why we started off doing low power memory. Now, when we look at the memory market at the minute and we say who's buying embedded SRAM, there's actually quite a lot of that kind of thing going into AI applications. If you look at some of the AI server chips, they're talking, you know, hey, let's put a gigabyte on chip. And so, you know, AI is clearly an area where there's a lot of interest and there's a lot of interest in memory. So, yeah, that's part of the story about why are we sort of looking at AI and memory for AI. The other thing, I guess, is Surecore has a range of like standard products, but actually probably half the business is memory customization for very, very specific applications. Yeah, and so that this white paper is partly a way of saying to people, you know, we are already looking in this area, but if you think you need help with your memory system for your AI application, then, you know, we're already there. Come and talk to us.
Yeah, it's a good paper, and AI is going to touch just about every chip, you know, in the future in some manner. So I spent a lot of time in the SRAM business in my career, but not necessarily the low power SRAM, and I know there's some challenges. So can you give us some examples of what you're doing?
Yeah. So I'll give you some, especially this sort of how do we customize stuff. I'll give you some generic examples, and then I'll go on to some more specifics. So when you start optimizing a memory for power, there are some sort of, if you like, easy wins. There are tweaks to the design that you can make, which will reduce read power and reduce write power and don't cost you all that much in area. So they're obvious things to do. But then you come up against, there are some things where it's not so clear. You know, if I make this change, then it reduces read power, but it increases write power. Or I can save leakage, but I'll increase area. And so you're in that, you get into a space where it's not obvious whether or not those are the right things to do. And so, you know, when we get into this, so the standard products basically contain the obvious things. When we get into doing customized designs, and that is very much done in consultation with the end user, taking on board what they know about the application. So for instance, if they know they do more reads than writes, then those changes that will trade read power for write power sort of start to come into play. So yeah, with that kind of thing, it's a business model that we call SureFit, and it's basically take our memory knowledge plus your application knowledge, and together we can do a better job than either of us could do separately, because we pool our knowledge and then, you know, optimize based on that global pool of knowledge rather than the individual companies. So, specifics. So one of the things that we've done recently is a register file for one of those like very, very power constrained applications that I was talking about just now. Something where, yeah, it's very limited by the size of battery you're willing to carry around. And with that one, you know, they came to us, they said, basically, it's almost like the only thing that matters with this application is power. You know, we will happily trade, you know, 2 or 3x on area for a 2 or 3x reduction in power. So that was very, very much, you know, here are the details of the application and power is all we care about. So we've done them a register file, which, yeah, is, it's under half the power of the alternative that they considered that they could get off the shelf from somebody else, but it's significantly bigger. But you know, that's what matters for that project. The other end of this, well, it's not quite the other end of the scale, but the other end of the sort of register file scale, we again had somebody came to us who said, for our application we need a multi-port register file. It's sort of two write, four read register file. If we synthesize that, then, you know, here's the result. Can you beat that area? Can you maintain the performance, beat the area? So yeah, again, that was given a very strong steer from what matters to them and a target to beat. Again, that's what we did. If we look at the opposite end of the scale in terms of size, there are some things that we've done which are sort of frame stores, that kind of thing, where it's a very large amount of memory. It's tens of megabytes. And when you get into that kind of size, actually leakage becomes sort of, actually it's probably the single most important factor. So because, you know, you're reading relatively small chunks of the data at any one time, but all of the data that you're not reading is sitting there leaking tiny amounts per bit, but, you know, hundreds of millions of bits, it adds up. So in those designs, actually, we've ended up doing things where, yeah, you optimize first for leakage and only then for active power. So again, those sorts of trade-offs that I was talking about, you know, understanding a lot of the trade-off space and working out what's the best thing to do, given more information about the application. That's sort of, yeah, as I said, it's a significant part of what Surecore is actually doing on a day-to-day basis. It's that kind of optimization. And yeah, the in-memory compute stuff is kind of coming out of that world. It's saying, here is a sort of application space. Here are a bunch of trade-offs which exist within the memory system to try and do that sort of thing. And you know, it's available to help us optimize the memory system, or in this case, the sort of in-memory compute system, to fit a particular application space.
Ah, got it. So what do you mean by in-memory computation? It's a term that gets used a lot, but what does it really mean? What's your take on it?
When I wrote the white paper, I thought, I'm using this term, I really ought to try and define what I mean by it. So in the paper, I basically talked about there's sort of the normal computation. You have the CPU which reads from the memory system, processes the data, then puts it back. And then I talked about, what I would view as near memory computation rather than in-memory computation, where effectively you're not pulling the data all the way to the processor. So something like, vector operations where you're specifying do this to a chunk of data rather than sort of handling individual words. Or in the paper, I have a diagram which is saying you could actually put an ALU, if you like, on the memory side of the bus rather than the processor side of the bus. The advantage of doing that is effectively you can work with larger chunks of data at a time. You can deal with whole cache lines rather than individual processor words at once, sort of thing. So you can exploit more parallelism, you can get more done at once. But then, as I say, that's sort of, I described as near memory compute, because you've still effectively got a sort of unified view of the memory system. All addresses are equivalent. With the in-memory compute, you start pushing actually deeply into the memory system. You're putting processing logic close to particular chunks of memory. And the change that happens then is effectively you need to have the data in the right place. It's in the memory which is near to a particular ALU. So there's like a sort of physical placement scheduling part of programming, that kind of thing. So the advantage is you have a massive amount of parallelism potentially available to use, and you are not moving data across anything like the usual sorts of distances, and there's a power saving just from not moving the data. So that's why it's good. But yeah, within memory compute, you actually have to care about the physical placement of data to make sure it's near the physical placement of the ALUs that you've added to the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, got it. Tony, what's special about your CompuRAM platform, and how does it differ from other approaches to in-memory compute?
Yeah, CompuRAM, the thing that the paper, I think that was, it's our marketing department's name, not mine, but it's, so the, how do we differ from other people? So I think the first thing to say is we're talking about a platform rather than a product. We're basically saying here is a group of technologies that we have, but we're not selling you what we think is the best way of using them to deal with AI applications. We have this set of techniques which we will help you deploy in the optimal way for your application. So it's bringing our knowledge plus customer knowledge of the end application. So within the paper, for instance, it describes three different ways that we can customize the system in order to optimize performance. And that's partly at the memory level. It's partly at the, what is the size of the all the data types within it. And there's a sort of, as I said, there's also part of the scheduling stuff going on as well. So there's a whole bunch of opportunities to customize and optimize to provide that optimal solution. The other way it's different to a lot of these technologies is effectively it's based on work we've already done. It's actually very closely related to our PowerMiser low power memory architecture. So PowerMiser, one of the ways in which it saves power is by having a very, very modular design. And we make sure that we only activate those parts of the memory system that are necessary for each particular access. So when we do write assist, we don't do write assist to the whole memory. We only do it to the subset that contains the address that we're trying to write to, for instance. And by having that very modular design, we keep active power down. Now, when you have that sort of modular design, I think the thing about where CompuRAM came from was partly me thinking, well, what happens if I do actually do accesses to multiple parts of the memory at once? And then there was the realization that if I do that, then I have these different sets of data, which I can then combine as they sort of move up the hierarchy within the design on their way to the output. So we don't just read a single value out of a single memory array, but we read multiple ones, but we combine them on the way out in a way that's useful to the end application. So for instance, we're adding things together as they're propagating up the hierarchy, or we're masking them with an external input and we're adding them together as they propagate up the hierarchy, which provides useful sort of building blocks for key algorithms. So, but because it's based on an existing design, you know, we know that the design works basically. We know that we can deploy it on pretty much any technology that you can build a 6T SRAM cell in. So yeah, we're not doing anything risky, we're not doing anything novel. There are people talking about doing sort of analog computation and trying to build that in. We are, yeah, not doing anything, you know, anywhere remotely as risky as that kind of thing, but we're still potentially offering performance improvements, density improvements, and certainly power savings. It's there, it's available, we know how to do it because it's directly related to what we've been doing. It's not an experiment. It's a technology, you know, basically ready to start deploying.
So what are the target applications for this?
Simple answer to that is we're still a low power company. So it's people who care about AI, but who also care about power. So, and I talked earlier about, you know, there are those power constrained applications, the smartwatches, the earbuds and such like. And, you know, what we see is there are people who, they have a product, they want to add more functionality to it, they want to add more adaptive functionality to it. They're interested in adding sort of AI techniques to do that, but they're trying to add functionality to an already power constrained design. So, you know, they have to be smart about how they do that. And part of that is making sure that the new functionality doesn't use too much power. And part of it is, you know, re-optimizing the existing functionality to, if you like, free up some headroom within the power budget. So that kind of, I have a problem. It's a power problem. I need to re-optimize how I'm using power within my application. You know, that's SureCore's sweet spot. That's basically the target market. It's still the people who care about power, and yeah, the people who really care about power, not just the people who say they do.
Yeah, well, that's still a big market.
So absolutely.
Final question, Tony, is how do customers normally engage with SureCore?
They tend to have heard of us. they tend to get in touch and say, we hear you do low power SRAM, we're interested in low power SRAM. And then this is partly why I just said, you know, the people who really care about power. So there are people who come to us and say, oh yeah, you know, we're interested in power optimization. You know, what can you do? And then at some point in the conversation, they start saying things like, but I've already got an SRAM supplier. Why should I change? And at that point, you start thinking, well, actually, you know, you don't really care about power, do you? Because if you're asking the why shouldn't I just continue using my existing memory question, then you're not at a position where, you know, you've realized that actually memory power is one of the things you need to do something about, and you need to be willing to put time and effort and money into doing so. So yeah, people come to Shawcor because they know that they've got a problem and we can help solve it.
Yeah. I mean, if low power is a second order effect, that's different than being low power is your first concern, right? So Tony, great discussion. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, anytime you want to talk about low power memory, then give me a call.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.